Thank you, church. You're amazing. Okay. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Paul, and I was the person who founded this church many years ago in our lounge room. And I want to thank you, seriously. I know that's just being a bit silly. I've been away on long service leave, and I want to thank you for allowing me that privilege and that opportunity to go away and rest and refresh and renew. And in the process that you allowed the pastoral team to continue to lead you and minister to you and help you to grow. And thank you that you didn't all leave when you saw me go on leave. And thank you that you've stayed true to the assignment that God has given us. And it's our desire that this assignment, the assignment God spoke to me and Trish and the guys who were there in the early days, has not changed. It's the same assignment. It's not our assignment so much that, you know, it starts and finishes with us, but it is the assignment of God for this church family, and it will outlast us. It will be multi-generational. This is the second generation leadership that are now stepping into their role, their ministry, and I'm going to ask you to get behind them the way you got behind Trish and I and Candace and Adrian and Karen. We were there driving it for many years, and you got behind us and enabled us to do this. Now I'm asking you to get behind Chris and Matt and Yvette and push and help them to carry this assignment through into the next generation, because we really do need to see a move of God. We really do need to see the church restored and rebuilt into the pattern that Jesus wants us to be. We really do need to see the church a praying church. We really do need to see a church that enables mission, that raises and up and trains and sends out missionaries into the community. We need to see that God can do miracles with a small number of people who totally committed. God can do more than with a crowd of people who are consuming and watching the circus go by. And so we need to be that kind of church. That's our assignment, and we need to continue this assignment into the future. So I'm banking, I'm trusting that it's in your heart. And if it's not, I've written a book. Go read the book more than once and get it in your heart. And you can carry this assignment on, because it is very, very important for the future of our region, our city, our nation. I want to thank Pastor Chris for stepping into the role as executive pastor over the last three-month period. It was a trial period for all of us to see how the team, how Chris and how the church would handle this new leadership and the new responsibilities. And I'm happy to say that we're going to continue with that arrangement, that Pastor Chris will serve as executive pastor going forward, and that it will open up the way for us to plant another church. And so I want to announce that we are praying into and looking for the opportunity to plant a church in Yanchep. We would like to see one church, Yanchep, established hopefully in the middle of this year. We're praying for the resources, for the money, for the team. We're praying for a building for us to be able to hold this church. We're looking, we're knocking on doors. So now is the moment for you to get behind us and pray with us that we can begin to influence another region and begin to have an outpost in the top end of town where God can lay the foundation of a healthy church in part of a growing community, just like he did here, and that will live through the generations up in Yanchep as well. So that's exciting. Are you excited by that idea? I hope so. Are you following all that? I've got a lot of stuff to get through, so I'm rolling. Are you good to roll with me? Okay. So thank you to our leadership team. Thank you to Chris. Thank you to you. Thank you to everybody who's got Yanchep in their heart. Let's keep going. Second batch of news, we've purchased a microbus VW Combi, if you want to have a look at it. It's up on the screen sometime in the future. It is not. You didn't get the pictures? You didn't get my slides? Ah! Okay. Well, I don't know if you know what a VW microbus looks like, but it's pretty cool. And that's our vehicle in South Africa for the churches in South Africa, and that's the vehicle for our missionary, Alyssa, to be using while she's there. She has promptly named him Oscar. So there's a spiritual reason behind that. He's not a good actor pretending to be a vehicle. He's a real one. And so we're excited about that. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for sowing into it. We now have a vehicle that can transport not only Alyssa, but all the kids, our missions team, when we go over there. Speaking of a missions team, we're sending a team in May. The focus will be evangelism and encounter. We're going to preach the gospel to more people in 2 weeks than you will have ever preached to in your entire life. You're going to notch up many victories on your belt for the gospel, for the kingdom of God. You're going to see people healed. You're going to see people touched by God, weeping, turning to God, giving their lives to God. If you are excited by that idea, then you need to be on this missions team in May. So you can see Pastor Matt. Well, I can't see him, but maybe you can. And you can sign up. Is he with kids somewhere? Anyone? No one knows. He does work here, but... Anyway, you can see him after service. That'll be great. And you can talk to him about being part of the missions team. I'll be leaving for South Africa with Alyssa on Tuesday. I leave, and Alyssa leaves around about the same time. I'm stopping in Johannesburg to do some ministry in a church in Johannesburg, and then I will go through to Cape Town and continue the ministry. And Alyssa will be doing her induction during that period while I'm there to make sure that she's settled and that she is ready to run as a missionary, a servant missionary in our churches in Cape Town. So making sure she's safe and she's settled and that the church has received her and know what to do with her and know how to handle her, because she is going to fire them up. I'm really excited about that. It's going to be great. So please cover us in your prayer as we go. We really appreciate your prayers. And let's keep Alyssa in our prayers for the rest of this year as well. Before I go into that, some of you may know this, but I'm just going to announce it in case you don't. Pastor Johan has resigned as the senior pastor of One Church Gordons Bay. There has been some family difficulties, some family challenges that he and his wife were experiencing, and we had hoped that we'd been able to work through that and bring them to a point where they could continue in the journey, but unfortunately we weren't able to do that. So Pastor Johan has stepped down as pastor, and he wants to continue in the church, and we believe that there is a role for Johan down the track, a new role in the days ahead, and we're praying that that will be possible. But we've also given him the full freedom to move if he feels to move to another church, because it is very difficult to have been the pastor and now not be the pastor in the church. It's a very difficult dynamic. So we understand, and we're praying for God's best for Johan and for Carla. So if you weren't aware of that, you are now. And that's another reason why it's important for me to be there and for Alyssa to be there. We've got some work to do to stabilize the church and to strengthen them for the road ahead. So your prayers for the church would be greatly appreciated. If you have any questions about that, please come and speak to me. This is not a matter to be gossiped about and to speculate on. If you want information, please come and speak to me. I'm happy to give it to you. Okay? Cool? Great. You're all good with that. So it gives me great pleasure to invite our servant missionary, Alyssa Mercer, to the front. Come and join me up here, Alyssa. Yay! This is so cool. This has taken 11 years of preaching to see this day. I'm so excited. So proud of you. You're amazing. If nobody told you yet today, you are awesome and amazing. Yeah. There you go. Okay, and I'd also like to invite Pastor Candace and Adrian, Karen, and Trisha to come and join me. We're going to pray for Alyssa in a moment. But before we send her, Pastor Chris and Pastor Yvette, could we have you two, please? I've gotten so used to a certain number of people that I've forgot. Please forgive me. Thank you. So Alyssa will be going to serve One Church Gordons Bay, One Church Temperance Town as a servant missionary. She'll be working in both churches. She'll be working with our children at the aftercare, Temperance Town Aftercare. She'll be ministering to them. She's been trained as an early educator. She graduated just the other day, which she was very excited about, so were we. And so we're sending a qualified early educator, early childhood educator over to our children in Cape Town. Plus, Alyssa goes as someone who has grown tremendously as a minister in God's house. She's led our worship faithfully. She's served in the intercessory team. She's served in the worship team. She's been an intern. She's gone on missions trips. I think you've done a whole bunch of other stuff, and I can't remember what it was. You have served diligently in the life of the church, and you've proven yourself a workman worthy of the gospel of God. And we are proud to send you, and we have confidence in you that you are going to do a great job and represent what God's doing here very, very well. And I commend you, I commend your parents for the great job they did, and I commend the church for helping you and allowing you the freedom to grow and develop as a woman of God. And, you know, this is a great day for us and for you. We're really proud of you. We're really excited for you. And we know you're going to do a great job. So I've asked Candace to do something, and she's going to do it now.
Yes, Alyssa, we decided that we wanted to give you a few gifts to take with you on your way. And so the first thing that I have for you is a little bag. You know, when you go to a party, you get a party bag. Well, this is a missionary bag. And it says she is clothed in strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. And I felt like that was a very appropriate verse for you. We see the strength and dignity at work in your life that you are clothed with, and no fear of the future. As I've talked with Alyssa, we've been talking about that future and how excited she is to go into the unknown. So, but we also have some stuff that we want to fill that bag with. And so if you have a gift for Alyssa, will you please come forward? And these are gifts that are going to help you on your journey in South Africa. All right, so the first things we have here, Dave, who has the stickers? Stickers. And just hold up what you got so I can remember. All right. Peter, yes. All right, so the first thing we have for you is obviously you're going to be working with the kids in Temperance Town. So we've got a few bouncy balls for you to use with them, lots of stickers. Because kids love stickers, and you love stickers, and
thanks.
Excellent. And then we've got lots of balloons that you can use as gifts or whatever, however you want to use those to bless the kids and to play with the kids. And then secondly, go ahead, David will take this. We have some tracks. We're obviously in this season where God is saying, have my heart for the loss. And there's a lot of people in that area, kids included. So we got a little kids track for you and another track for adults that maybe you can use in spreading the gospel and sharing the good news with those that you encounter in South Africa. And then we have, yes, Christy, a journal that says, when life is too hard to stand, kneel. Pray without ceasing. And obviously, as a church, we believe that we are to be a house of prayer and that you individually are to be a house of prayer. And we want to, we know that you will be coming alongside of the church there, helping them to be men and women of prayer and to become a house of prayer as the Lord leads. And so we want to encourage you to use this to record prayer requests and the answers to those prayers in your journey with them.
Thank you.
All right. We have here a keychain for Oscar. And you are going to the Cape of Good Hope. And so, and that God has given that church a scripture about being the door of hope as well. So this keychain says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we bless you and Oscar with that. All right. Cards. Thank you, Dwayne. So these are just a box of thank you cards. Obviously, as you're in ministry and leadership, you often just need ways to express the people that are around you and thank them for their presence in your life and for what they're doing. So here's some cards that you can use to thank and bless others that you're journeying with. And now, for you two guys, if you would come, we've got two gifts for you related to praying for people and prayer ministry. And so first of all is your own little bottle of anointing oil that you can pray, to use in praying for healing and as the Lord leads to bless them. And we also have a little packet here of mints. You know, I've had the experience where I've prayed for some people and they've fallen down, not because of the Holy Spirit, because of my breath. And so we want to make sure you don't make that same mistake. And so here's some mints to use in praying for people. And then last but not least, we wanted to give you a little voucher for Coombe, is that how you say it? Coombe Christian Bookstore in South Africa that you'll actually get when you get there. We've ordered it there for you. But that you can use to buy gifts that you might need for your ministry or that the church might need. So there is your missionary gift bag that we send you away with. God bless you. All right. Well, Lord, we just are so grateful for the gift that you've given to us of Alyssa. We thank you for how you have used her to bless our lives. And now we thank you for the incredible privilege that we have of releasing her and sending her to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in South Africa. And Lord, as you've been teaching us the importance of blessing one another, I just want to declare this blessing over you, Alyssa, today. May the Lord himself bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Father, may your kingdom come and may your will be done in and through Alyssa. Everything that you have in your heart that you want to do in and through her, we declare it will be accomplished in Jesus' name. And we ask for a release of angelic hosts to surround her, to minister to her, and to war on her behalf against every plan and scheme of the enemy that he may send to kill, steal, and destroy. We declare all of those plans, all of those schemes have themselves been destroyed through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You, God, are her refuge and her strength, her ever-present help in time of trouble. Thank you for your protection over her life. Thank you for the answers to prayer that you will bring about through Alyssa's life. May your grace be upon her to do everything that you call and ask her to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Alyssa, I hope you booked some extra luggage to be able to fit your baggage in. Alyssa, when we prayed at the leadership meeting and God led me to give a word over you about that this was, as you were going to Temperance Town and that they would see what is in you and they would get your heart and they would be asking, why do they always come to us? Why can't we do that to others? And that you're going to be using this as a proving ground and a training ground, that even though you're training them and you're speaking into their lives, you're training them up as missionaries there. And one church, Galton Bay, Door of Hope, Temperance Town there, is going to become a missionary sending base, as we are. But on top of that, God's also said to me that I know that you just felt you wanted to do this before you settled down and before you got your job in school and your 8 to 5 and everything else. Nah, God's saying, this is just the first. Be prepared.
I got very similar to Adrian, and we didn't confer, that I saw you as an arrowhead, that you were the first of many, not just from this church, but from the other church, that you're an inspiration, and people will see what God is doing in your life and go, I want to have that. Why, God, can't I have that? And God is going to answer those people's prayers, those people who want to get alongside you and go, I want to grasp what she's got. He's going to honour that. So that you are going to be the first from here, but there's going to be many from there too that's going to follow. And he will protect you, and he's going to give you the desires of your heart, because this is your first, and he's going to answer the other ones too. And he hasn't shown you those.
Great, great words, great promise. God bless you. Let's give Alyssa a hand. Did we get a good photo? Somebody got a good photo? Great, thank you.
Just one more thing. Alyssa, if you would just carry this bag around with you after the service. I know there are many of you that have already had an opportunity to give to Alyssa in different ways, but maybe you haven't, so today would be your last chance. If you have a little bit of money you want to throw in her bag, feel free to do that and to bless her in that way as well. All right?
On that note, also, if during the course of whilst Alyssa is over there, you are led and feel to want to help donate towards the support of her while she's there, because it's not going to be easy going. She has got to find her own way. We're not paying for her all through. If you feel that way, please let the church know or let me know. I have her bank account details. She can draw from that account. We've already conferred with that. She can draw from that account while she's there. So please either speak to me or the church office, and we'll give you those account details. You can just direct debit it straight into it. It's a WA bank account, so there's no problems, no charges for putting it in, but Alyssa can draw it from it over there. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. This is going to be a quick one, but it's going to be intense. All right, I know you've got to get home. There's probably food in the oven and whatnot. So I'm going to do my best. Okay. I need you to come with me. I'm going to shorten it a little bit. There's going to be bits I'm going to have to leave out. I need to ask the guys at the back, do we have the video? Yes. Okay. We're halfway there. Okay. Well, you won't see the slides maybe, but you'll get some of the video. So I'd like to add to our focus for the year. As you know, this is our week of prayer and fasting, and we were setting out the focus for having a heart for the lost. Is this mic okay? Because take the gain down. It's quite a bit. So that'll be good. Give me more bass.
Give me more bass.
During the week, I woke up with my tongue between my teeth. I'd bitten my tongue. I must have been that hungry. I was dreaming of a steak or something. I took a big bite of my tongue. And now I've got an ulcer on the side of my tongue, and I can't say the S very well. So please forgive me if it looks like I'm speaking funny. I am, because I was chewing on my tongue to alleviate the hunger. Anyway, I want to add to the focus this year of having a heart for the lost and having a heart for this generation, the young generation, the youth. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, that's not really me. And I want to say to you, that's wrong. That is really me. It is us. This is us. This is our generation. And we heard a brilliant quote through Keith, the evangelist who lives behind us and is doing the work of an evangelist in our community. And he said this: the only generation that will reach this generation, there's only one generation that can reach this generation, and that's this generation. That was by David Livingstone. I have it in my notes somewhere. I'll correct myself later. But I'm saying that first because I really want to dispel the notion that this isn't relevant for you. God has placed you in this generation, He's called you to this generation to reach it. That's not just young, and that's not just old, and that's not just anything in between where you feel comfortable and where you fit in. That is this entire generation, young, old, and all the bits in between. We are called to reach them all, to have a heart for them all. We don't get to pick and choose about who we're going to minister to and be exclusive about only reaching a certain part of the demographic. We're called to love all people of all age, of all color, of all creed, of all culture. We're called to love them all. This is the generation that we have been born in, and we have a role to play, a part to play in reaching this generation. So I need to lay that down really early because quite often as we begin talking about family or we talk about youth, there are portions in the church that go, oh, well, that's not relevant to me. I want to say to you, it is relevant to all of us today. We are a prophetic people. That means we hear from God and we speak His word. We want you to be able to hear from God. And God can speak to you. If you've never been able to hear God's voice in your head or hear God's voice in your heart, that's okay. We'll teach you how to do that. You stick with us. We'll be able to teach you how to do that. You'll get there. But I want to tell you another way God speaks is through His word, through the Bible. And another way God speaks is through preachers of His word. So God is speaking to you today through me, through the preaching of this word. God will use me today to get His message into your heart if you choose to receive it and you choose to listen. The Bible's clear about that. It says that the salvation of people, their fate hangs in the balance and will take a preacher. How will they hear, how will they respond unless a preacher goes to them and tells them? How did you get saved unless somebody preached to you? How did you grow up in God unless a preacher spoke to you from the Word of God and gave you the elements that God was wanting you to hear and receive? So I want you to understand, if we are a prophetic people, you are a prophetic people, you can hear from God, God will speak to you this morning, and when you hear from God, the onus is on us to obey Him, to take what He says and to live it out and do it. So this is not just information for you this morning. This is transformation for you this morning. You will hear from God and you have the opportunity to put it into practice and to do something with it and to see it happen in your life. The biggest problem in our church today is that the people of God are not a prophetic people. They're not obedient to the Word of God. They don't put it into practice. They do not grow up. They stay immature. They stay weak. They stay empty out of a choice not to follow through on what God is saying. Do not be like the problem in the body of Christ. Be like the solution in the body of Christ. Hear the word of God and obey the word of God and put it into practice. Make it a part of your everyday life. The stats indicate that we are in a generation in crisis. It's only escalating, and the cost to families and the nation is escalating with it. Youth suicide, youth unemployment, youth depression, youth anxiety, and the breakdown of the family unit is a reality that we're living with, and it is escalating. The nation, society, is desperate for answers. They're throwing billions of dollars at all sorts of programs and ideas and services that are not addressing the real problem and meeting the real need. They're meeting some of the need, but the real answer is only found in God. God has the answer for this generation. And if God has the answer for this generation, then it follows that the church would have the same answer. Because we are the hands and feet of God. We are the mouthpiece of God on the earth. Surely, if God has the answer, then so do we. Have you ever looked at this generation and gone, oh my goodness, what is going on? If you're like me, you're getting to that age where you're repeating what your father or your mother said to you when you were young. You're saying things like, well, when I was your age, that's a scary place to be. I don't know how that happened. I woke up one day and I was old. And I'd never intended that. I'd never planned for that. But there it was. I was talking like my old man. And I was saying the same sort of stuff and going, you kids of today, you don't know how good you've got it. But in reality, you kids of today, you don't know how bad you got it either. You don't know what you got. It's a very confused mess going on right now today. And there are people desperately looking for answers. They don't always know they're looking for answers. They're just looking to get out of the pain. Or they're just looking to have joy. Or they're just looking to escape and numb themselves while they're looking for an answer, but they don't really know what that answer is. And we, the church, have the answer right here today. And this year, we've committed ourselves to being the answer to our community, to having a heart for the lost, to having a heart for this generation, for the young people today. But this is, again, not just for young people, this is for the whole family. So buckle up, because this morning, for the next 20 minutes, we're going on an anthropological, sociological, theological, prophetic ride. Cool, you good with that? Okay. The fact is, we're losing a generation from the church and from the kingdom of God. Many churches see young people attend their youth ministries while they're at school, but then they lose them as young adults. At best, we only see a small portion return, and they return with a whole lot of baggage, sin consequence, later in their life. They only come back when everything's hit the wall and they can't go on. So this shows us that we, the whole church, not just pastors, and not just the programs, but we, the whole church, are failing to make our children true disciples of Jesus who love and understand the value of church family in their lives. That was big. That little chunk that I gave you was a big chunk. We're losing our young people. Once they reach an age of making their own decisions, they make the decision to leave the church. That means that we as the church, the people with the answers, are failing to give them the answers they're looking for. We're failing to be a place and be a family where they can understand the true value of what we're doing. That should sit heavy on us. That means that every one of us here in this room has a responsibility to those who are not here, who were here once but have gone off. To those who, the parents and the families that are here where your own children or don't want to be here, we've got a responsibility to you too. We're failing to effectively recognize, activate, train, and empower these young saints in their ministries. We're treating them like passengers. Just come along for the ride. We're not treating them like ministers. We're failing to be the family who provides the relationships of fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters in holiness and in consistency with extravagant grace, love, kindness for young people who may never have experienced that. It's a big statement, I know. You're going to have to listen to this podcast and go over it again. But that's where we're failing. But you'll be somewhat encouraged to know that it's not just the church that's losing this generation. It's society in general. Business is crying out because they've got problems trying to find the answers for the generation that are coming in to their workforce. They're crying out. They're saying, we don't know what to do with these young people. We need answers. And I want you to watch a video clip that has now gone viral. Not the whole thing, but parts of it, from a business consultant who is speaking about the question of millennials. And we'll hit the video now, will we? Good.
Hey, I want to hear what you're thinking. I have yet to give a speech or have a meeting where somebody doesn't ask me the millennial question.
What's the millennial question?
Apparently, millennials as a generation, which is a group of people who were born approximately 1984 and after, are tough to manage, and they're accused of being entitled and narcissistic and self-interested, unfocused, lazy. But entitled is the big one. And because they confound leadership so much, what's happening is leaders are asking the millennials, what do you want? And millennials are saying, we want to work in a place with purpose. Love that. We want to make an impact, you know, whatever that means. We want free food and beanbags. And so somebody articulates some sort of purpose. There's lots of free food and there's beanbags. And yet, for some reason, they're still not happy. And that's because they're missing. There's a missing piece. What I've learned is that I can break it down into four pieces. Right? There are four things, four characteristics. One is parenting. The other one is technology. The third is impatience, and the fourth is environment. The generation that we call the millennials, too many of them grew up subject to, not my words, failed parenting strategies. You know, where, for example, they were told that they were special all the time. They were told that they could have anything they want in life, just because they want it. Right? They were told. Some of them got into honors classes not because they deserved it, but because their parents complained. And some of them got A's not because they earned them, but because the teachers didn't want to deal with the parents. Some kids got participation medals. They got a medal for coming in last, right? Which the science we know is pretty clear, which is it devalues the medal and the reward for those who actually work hard. And it actually makes the person who comes in last feel embarrassed because they know they didn't deserve it. So it actually makes them feel worse, right? So you take this group of people, and they graduate school, and they get a job, and they're thrust into the real world, and in an instant, they find out they're not special, their moms can't get them a promotion, that you get nothing for coming in last, and by the way, you can't just have it because you want it, right? And in an instant, their entire self-image is shattered. And so you have an entire generation that's growing up with lower self-esteem than previous generations.
Okay. You need to watch this video in full. If you want to understand the world that we're living in, it would be very, very educational. But we're going to look at failed parenting strategies. See, the church has the answer for that. God has the answer for failed parenting strategies. This is good news. Now, of course, you might be sitting there and you might be feeling convicted right around now going, I think this is where I might have gone wrong. And that may be the case. I want you to know that we serve a Redeemer. A redeemer is somebody who can buy back what has been stolen. A redeemer, the redeemer we serve, according to James in the New King James or in the Old King James Bible, says that God even redeems lost time. This is great news for people who've lost opportunities and feel like the past has gone and there's no way they can recover it. There's no way they can make up for it. I want you to know that there is a redeemer who can. Jesus says, I can make all things new. Even failed parenting strategies. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9, the scriptures say this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I want you to tell you, that is God's answer for failed parenting strategy number one. That's the starting point. You see, that should give you hope, because every one of us can do that. We may not be the best dad, we may not be the best mom, we may not have all the answers for a very complex life and complex situations that our children are going through, but I can tell you this, when you live it out in front of them, when you tell them, love God with everything you got, love Him the way I do, love Him, serve Him, talk about Him, walk with Him, fellowship with Him, hang out with Him, glorify Him, praise Him, just get real with Him. When you get a relationship with Jesus going like that, you are on the way to rectifying failed parenting strategies number one. You are beginning to lay a foundation that will set them up in life. You're beginning to bring order in their life. You're beginning to give them a protection in their life. You're beginning, and this isn't just for dads and mums with kids today. This is for all of us. If you don't have this foundation in your life, if this isn't the reality for you, you are going to be lost. You're not going to have a foundation. You're going to be like a ship without an anchor, blown this way and that way by every wind, by every false teaching, by every whim and desire of your flesh. You're going to be blown this way and that without this foundation. This is where it all begins. Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment of all? And he quotes this. This is it. You want to get things right? You want to do things right in life? Start here. Love the Lord your God. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. But I want to tell you, it doesn't help our cause today when parents who should know better leave church offended or with negative baggage. We're trying to lay a foundation. We're trying to teach this generation that this is how you do it. You love God with everything you got. And let me tell you, when you love God with everything you got, the next logical step is you love the church with everything you got. Why? Because the church, Jesus is the head of the church and we're his body. We've been connected to God through the church. And so you start to love the church. And when you love the church, you love the unity. You love keeping the unity. You love keeping it as one family. You don't want to see it hurt. You don't want to see people dividing, splitting, bleeding all over the place. You don't want to hear about somebody who left in a bad way and somebody had a bad experience over there. You carry that because the Bible says when we're all part of one body, and when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. And so when you're walking this out and you start loving the body of Christ, start loving the church, and then when we've got this generation watching parents, when you've got kids watching parents leave church offended, angry, walking away saying, we're not going to bother with church anymore, or we're going to go find a church that's more suitable to us. When you got that going on, all young people see and their decision becomes, church cannot be trusted. Church is not a place to make real relationships. That's what we're communicating by that behavior. Church treats relationships like disposable items. The amount of heartache that I personally and many other church leaders have experienced through this is staggering. Staggering. If I had to tell you the amount of, I work with a lot of church leaders now, I've connected with a lot of church leaders, the common thread of so many of our conversations, and how's it going? How's the ministry going? How are things going? When we really just go beyond, now good, all good, mate, all great. Yeah, we had a great Sunday. Yeah, but, okay, yeah. But what's really going on? When we get to that, it's like, oh, man, you know, there's this family. I've just been praying and carrying them and seeing God work, and then something's come and they've left, and it's just created such a big hole in the family, and, you know, we're bleeding all over the place. Time and time and time again, this is the testimony that I hear from churches, from pastors. And I know it affects the body of Christ. I know you bleed too. I know it hurts you when you see it happen. So I believe that if we're going to be an answer for this generation, we're going to start by loving God and loving the church. We really have to make a commitment to saying, this family is very important to me. I'm not going to split. I'm not going to cut it off. I'm not going to walk away offended. I'm going to grow up and work through offense. I'm going to grow up and work through challenge. I'm going to set an example for people around me that they can see how it's supposed to be done. Because this is real life. You're going to get offended. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get disappointed. You're going to be overlooked. You're going to be treated poorly. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in business. It's going to happen in the sports club. It's going to happen everywhere. It's going to happen in church because there are people everywhere. There are immature people. There are people with agendas everywhere. There are all sorts of messed up people roaming this planet. And you're probably going to bump into them and they're going to hurt you. And you have a choice at that point whether you're going to be grown up and say, I can deal with this, I'm going to work through this, or you're going to be a child and run away and say, I'm starting again without you and I'm taking my toys with me.
See, it doesn't help our cause when we're trying to be an answer when our behavior and our actions undo the answer. I prayed that a spirit of offense would not be at work today. I hope you agree with me. It doesn't help our cause. It doesn't help our young children, our young people, when parents who should know better fail to encourage their children to work through the relational challenges in church. And so, if we help them to work through the relational challenges that our children will inevitably face, you're not always going to be liked. You're not always going to be in the popular group. You're not always going to feel like you fit in. You're not always going to feel like you belong. But if we help you to push through that, you will learn how to do real friendship and real relationship. If you learn how to take your hurt and your disappointment to Jesus and say, Jesus, this really hurts, I need your help, you will find that he will help you. And you will grow up through that process, because one way or another, you're a young person who has to grow up. And so when you're in church, God brings circumstances and situations into your life to grow you up. And he uses people that you never suspected he would use. He uses Christian people, good people, sometimes even the pastor's kids, to be the sandpaper in your life. And you can walk away going, how dare they? My precious lamb doesn't deserve that sort of treatment. Or you can say, precious lamb, this is the way people grow up in the world. Get back in there and be a friend. Overlook a sin. Cover a sin with love. Be the one who reaches out. Be the one who goes and talks to the kids being left out. Be different. Stand up for what you believe and what I've taught you all these years. That's what we need. That's the answer we need. Woo! But instead, we'll encourage cliques, little groups, and we'll encourage sulking or sooking. And we'll encourage disengagement. And all we're doing is showing the world that we've got no clue what this answer really is. We're just like the world, because that's what they do. But we are better than that. Am I speaking to somebody today? You know, it doesn't help our cause when parents who should know better, but out of fear, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of love, power, and sound mind. But out of fear, parents begin to agree with their children's immaturity and demands, and go on to allow sin and compromise in the camp. It doesn't help the cause. It doesn't help us to be the answer that this world is so desperately looking for, when we are so afraid we're going to lose our kids that we say, oh, I know it's not what the Bible says. I know it's not what God wants me to do, but I don't want to lose you. So, yes, you can sleep with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Or yes, they can stay in the room together overnight. Or yes, you can go to that party where I know there's going to be drugs and alcohol. Or yes, you can get lost in the screen for the rest of the day and the night and the week and whatever. And yes, you can get addicted to these things, the TV and the whatever. I'm not going to fight you over this because I don't want to lose you. Out of fear. Oh, I'd rather it happened here under my watch. Can I just run that one through the filter of common sense quickly? Just let's run that little statement. I'd rather that it happened under my watch. We're called to be watchmen on the walls for the body of Christ and for the community. To do what? To keep out sin and compromise. To ring the bell. Whoa, we're not going to have that in our community. Whoa, we're not having that come in our church. Hey, hang on a minute. We're not going to go there because that's where the world goes. We're going this way. We're going this way. Follow the way of the cross. We're going to... But under my watch at home, because I'm afraid I'm going to lose you, it's okay. I see that. It's very close to me. And sometimes my hands are tied and my mouth is bound and I'm not allowed to say anything. Why? Because if I do, those close to me are going to get so offended that I lose the right to speak after that. So we've got to grow up. We've got to be the answer. We've got to say, not under my watch. And I won't lose you because I gave you to God when He gave you to me. You're in God's hands. You're not fighting with me. You're fighting with the living God. Let me point you to a scripture, my child, that whenever you fight with the living God, you lose. It's only a matter of time. Because you're not your own. You belong to Jesus. I've led you to Him. I've taught you about Him. I've set you up to follow Him. Now you're choosing to walk away from Him and you're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You're going to hurt yourself. I will be there to pick you up. I will be there to patch you up. I'll be there to rescue you. But I want you to know, not on my watch. You can go and do it. You can pretend that I don't know about it. You can skulk out and do it your own way. You can slip and slide and behave like the devil himself. But I want you to know, I'm not afraid to lose you because you're not mine anyway. You belong to Jesus. I want you to know that I'll be there for you no matter what happens, but I'm not allowing that in my home. I'm not allowing that under my watch. I'm not allowing that under my roof. You see, somebody's got to have the answer. Somebody's got to stand strong on this stuff and actually believe it. And put it to the test and see, well, does it work that way? Well, I want to tell you, I'm one of those. Oh, I had a long road back. And I came back with a whole lot of baggage. But I'm back. And my dad and my mom had to let me go. They could not tame this wild bronco. Oh, told my wife when she married me, I'm a tiger. A toothless one, but nonetheless, tiger-like behavior. And I had stuff I wanted to do, things I wanted to experience. I didn't want to do the church thing because, quite honestly, what I'd seen in church didn't really appeal to me. The problem was that I belonged to God because at 5 years old, my mom and dad led me to Jesus. And I belonged to Him. So there I was, rebelling and doing my own thing, hurting myself and those around me. And my parents made the bold decision to say, not under our roof. My dad said to me, I asked him, Dad, can I go to a party? He said, son, you're too old for me to say yes or no. But I want you to know this, you're not going with my blessing. Now, for a while that worked. So I'd be like, okay, I'm not going. But then one day, I had this flash of inspiration from the devil. And I thought, I know what I'm going to do. Next time he says that, I'm going to say, thanks, Dad, I'm going without your blessing. So I did. It's a brave man. My dad was a large fellow and a good boxer. But nonetheless, I plucked up the courage to say, I'm going without your blessing. And he said, that's not the way it works, son. You've now forced me to say yes or no. I'm saying no, son. I know you're probably going to want to break the rule. You're not going with my blessing and you're not going, full stop. So I went. And I had the most miserable time. Because I was just waiting for something terrible to happen. The whole night. Somewhere along the line, the hammer of God is going to fall on my head and it's going to hurt. Now, is God an angry God who's waiting to drop the hammer on me? But my fear of God that had been put in me from a young man knew that he could if he really wanted to. And that's enough. So that night, I stayed sober and behaved myself. It was a long road back. Many scars, many wounds, many things I shouldn't have done that I'm not proud of. But because my parents said, no, not on my watch, I am where I am today. If they had said, all right, you know what, go on, just do it. I'd have gone, well, how different are we from the world? What's the difference between us and the guys down the road who don't go to church? What's the difference between us and, and the people who follow whatever they want to follow. No difference. Oh, we go to church on Sunday. Oh, so we get religious. Oh, I get it. You do religion. Well, I don't do religion because I think religion sucks. Not making the kingdom of God a high priority in the family life simply communicates that we're religious. And it's clear that this generation agrees with my version that religion sucks. Oh, they'll say it like this: well, religion is at fault for all the wars, you know. Not true, but that's what they think. Or they'll say, oh, you know, all religions are the same. Not true, but that's what they think. And so they're not really religious. They don't really want to do it. Their religion is themselves. But they would say they're not religious. How are we doing, people? I'm running out of time quickly. But I want to tell you, if we, as the people of God, don't make the kingdom of God our number one priority, all we're communicating is that we're religious. And religion is dead and worthless. It does nothing for anybody. All it does is tie them up in bonds, in bondages that hold them a prisoner for the rest of their days on earth. What helps our cause to make true disciples of Jesus in this generation is when they see a community of adults, of parents, of brothers, of sisters who are in love with Jesus, who sold out for the kingdom of God, and who are committed to trying to live that out, making mistakes, fessing up, and doing it again. That's what helps. When I can say, listen, I know you've got problems, but look at that family over there. Look how they did it. They made it. You can make it too. I know you don't have the answers for your child right now, but you need to go and see so-and-so because they've gone through something very similar. Go and speak with them. That helps our cause. When they see, when our children, the generation, the people around us see us loving the church, loving being a blessing to others, knowing how to pray, knowing how to worship, knowing the Bible, knowing their God, this helps our cause immeasurably. And I have to drink now, forgive me. The answer is not that difficult. It's not that far out of reach. God has said, I'm not that far away that you can't reach me when you call out to me. I'm not going to put myself out there. I'm not going to say, well, you know, I set this world up to get it harder and harder with each passing generation. And by the time you guys get it, I'll be just around the corner. So hang in there. Minimize the damage. Just wait for the rapture. I'm on my way. Behave like an ostrich if it gets too bad. Bury your head in the sand. Pretend nothing's happening. There's no elephant running down at you. Bury your head under the sand. I can't see them. They can't see me. We're all good. That was God's answer, wasn't it? I think not. God's answer was to say, put me first. Put my kingdom first. Lay that foundation and watch what I'll do with the young people. Watch what I'll do in your circle of friends. Watch what I'll do in your workplace. When you do that, watch what I will do. Hey, that's good news. That's exciting for me. This is the season we're heading into. It's time for us to shine brightly, to let our lives shout the truth about the kingdom of God, about family, and about church life. Do I have the most perfect family in the world? Yes. No. Do any of us have the most perfect family in the world? No. But I'll tell you what, in my family you will find are people who love God. People who want to follow God, people who know how to pray, how to prophesy, how to pray for healing. We're not the best at it, but we know how to. And we're willing to do it. People who fast, people who go to church consistently and regularly, people who work through relational challenges. Do we shout and scream at each other? Unfortunately, we do. We're passionate people. We're strong people. We're not Italian, but that doesn't matter. we sometimes say things we shouldn't have said and wish we could take back? Yes, unfortunately we do. Do we sometimes hurt one another? Yes, we do. But we also forgive. We also love. We also believe in one another to a fault. This is a good family. I'd want to be in it. And so, this church family can do the same. I've had talks with some of you, some of my brothers here, and our volume has risen. We've differed over things. I don't know if I've said something that I shouldn't have said to you, but I might have. I've said things about the All Blacks and other things. But that's sort of the top of my list of offense. I said all that stuff, and I'm sorry for most of it. But I love you, and I hope you'll forgive me, and I hope we can keep walking this thing out, because we've got a very important assignment here. We're supposed to be the answer to the world. And that's where I'd like to end today, because I've run out of time. I'll be back in 4 weeks' time, and I'll probably speak to you again. Maybe you should come with me. I can talk about it more on the plane and in Africa. There's really no good place to land this. I've got so much that I want to share with you, so much good stuff I want to share with you. So I'll be back in March sometime, and we'll hit it again. But I think that's, you know what, I've nailed some really big things this morning. I've hit some big chunky stuff. And really I want to bring us back to the foundational starting point. How do I be the answer for this very lost generation? How do I do, here's where you start. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. I want to say part two of that is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else is going to get sorted. I know that's not the second part of the verse Jesus quoted, but I'm giving you my version. I'm allowed to. So start by loving God with everything you got. Start by putting his kingdom first. And then we'll go on to loving our neighbors and reaching the lost. Okay, we'll get there. But we can't go there until we go here. Do you love God with everything you got? Are you living that out in your family? Do your family know that? Would they look at you and say, yes, I know you're screaming at me right now for the stuff I did, but I know you love God, and I know you love me. So I'm going to endure this, and then we're going to sort this out. You get what I'm saying? Do your family know that? Do the people around you know this guy loves God? This lady loves God? You know what? They put the kingdom of God first. Now, the world may not understand that. They don't know what the kingdom of God is. But they always see your Facebook page is about God, church. They hear in your conversation. They are like scared to say they're not feeling well because you are going to lay hands on them and pray for them to feel better. They're like, you know, they're like, oh, the God squad's arrived. They know that. They know you put the kingdom of God first. Is that the truth about you? If it's not, today's where we start. Let's stand together and pray. I'm going to ask you, if you want to respond as I pray, would you raise your hand to God and say, God, you know my heart. I want to love you with everything, and I want to put your kingdom first, but I need your help. So if you want to pray that prayer, raise your hand now, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you make these very complex, challenging situations incredibly simple, that even a child could understand it. And you said that if we want to come to you, we've got to be like little children. So we choose to come to you today like little children. We want to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. We want to really love you. And some of our hearts have been broken and wounded, and it's hard to love, so we might need your healing. Please, Would you help us, Jesus, to love you with everything? I want to be known as someone who loves you, God. Just do something in me. Start doing something in me today. And I want to be a person who puts your kingdom first, Jesus. I don't want to serve mammon and serve the boss and serve everything else. I want to serve you. I want to work for you. I want to do what matters for you. Please, will you redirect my steps? Would you give me a better mindset about my whole life so that I can keep putting you first? And please remind me that I'm okay with you no matter what I've done, because I'm seeking a right relationship with you today. Forgive me for my sin, Jesus. Wash me clean. Forgive me for fear and for compromise, and forgive me for being a bad example, and forgive me for all the things I've said and done against you, your body, and others. Please forgive me. Wash me clean. Give me a brand new start today, I pray. I'm yours and you're mine. That's where it starts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time today, then we would love to spend some time with you to talk it through and pray with you some more. So I'm going to ask you to come and see Pastor Chris, Pastor Yvette, who's somewhere, she's at the back, or Carolyn in the front. Wave, Carolyn. That should do this morning. If you need to speak to a man or a woman or a pastor, there you go. Please come and see them, and let's talk it through, and we'll pray with you. Thank you for your patience this morning. A very busy morning, very full morning. All glory to God. We've had a great morning. So go with God's blessing. Have a fantastic week. And may God's love for you and your love for God overflow. Amen. Just a quick reminder.